Welcome, fair listeners, to Much Ado About Wrestling, the show where we believe walking down the aisle is best when accompanied by pyrotechnics. I'm one half of your scholarly presenters, Andrew Terrence Caberline, and with me, as always, is the Lou Ray bad boy, Tyler Ward. Tyler, how are you?
Oh, yeah, Andrew, I'm the baddest around. I'm the baddest in the valley, the Shenandoah Valley, that is. Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry for the Macho Man impression. It was just, I'm in a Macho Man kick right now.
I thought you were doing Black Machismo. So,
topical.
How are you doing, Tyler? What has been occupying your time since we last talked?
So just, you know, some normal life stuff. I've been watching a lot of wrestling, as we do. And I've been going to a lot of weddings, Andrew. I've been going to a lot of weddings.
Yes, me too. I've been going to enough that I have been renting from the Black Tux, who is not a sponsor of our show, but I wish they were because they're great.
Yeah,
I've been renting from the Black Tux, and I've gone to enough weddings that I decided to just buy the tux I was renting from
really?
Full time.
How much did that run you?
It ran me $255, thanks to John L. at customer service.
That is already less than what I have spent this year on weddings, so...
Yeah, exactly.
That's a good deal.
Hopefully you guys, you listeners out there, have got all of your weddings in before this hurricane hits.
Yeah.
Or this typhoon hits, or other big fat wrestlers who had names like Earthquake. Am I missing a few?
Tugboat? I think it was Typhoon.
Tugboat's
and Earthquake.
Not the...
Tugboat.
He's not a natural disaster, but he was a wrestler. Yeah, so the weather is bad, but
the wrestling is good. The wrestling has been good. Yes.
So we're going to focus today on how weddings are portrayed in wrestling. And you, for our newer fans, you might be thinking like, well, how often does that happen? The answer, much more often than you would think.
A lot more than you would think, yes.
Yeah. The wedding is a staple of storytelling. It really has been since the days of Shakespeare, the namesake of our podcast. I mean, we are Much Ado About Wrestling. Much Ado About Nothing, the play that this is a title off of, ends in a wedding. And I'm going to make a lot of parallels to that.
Yes.
So since the dawn of theater, a major convention in the climax of a story has always been the wedding. Shakespeare ended nearly every one of his comedies with one and some of his tragedies. Wedding scenes are iconic in movies like The Graduate and, I don't know, like The Wedding Date, My Best Friend's Wedding, any movie with wedding in it.
Wedding Crashers.
Yeah. There's not a sitcom in television history that hasn't had a season finale at some point that didn't involve a wedding. I know you're all thinking about Friends right now and like Take the Rachel. It's a significant moment of the human experience, and thus it is ripe for drama. So to celebrate this wedding season, we thought we would take a stroll through wrestling memory lane to look at the art of the wrestling wedding. So why, Tyler, is a wrestling wedding a thing?
I'll tell you why, Andrew. And it's because a lot of people, like, honestly, myself included, a lot of people like to describe wrestling to people who don't really, they don't know much about professional wrestling. They're like, why should I watch this?
Mm-hmm.
Or like, you know, it's all fake or whatever they have to say. I always say, look, wrestling is like, it's the best, it's the most action filled soap opera you've ever seen. And there's no better, I think, soap opera-y event that you can like go through than like a wedding. Like, emotions are high, there's such potential for all kinds of drama on all kinds of levels. I mean, it's a great stage for storytelling. It's the best way to say it.
It is. And to give you an idea of how soapy it can get in wrestling, the very first recorded wrestling wedding was between Paul Vakken? I know how to say his name. Yeah. And Ophelia, which I think is fun since
that
it's a
is
Shakespearean
funny.
name. And this was on Tuesday Night Titans in 1984. Paul was marrying Ophelia in the ring, and there were only bad guy wrestlers around, and Captain Lou Albano, who you guys remember from the Cyndi Lauper music video, Girls Just Want to Have Fun, he objected to the wedding, But once he realized that Ophelia wasn't a virgin, he was like, eh, I got no problems with letting this continue. So that is at like how soapy wrestling weddings get. So is it a convention that is best used at the beginning or the end of a feud? I actually don't know the answer for this.
I think it could be argued either way.
Shakespeare always used it at the end of a play. Yeah. And it was to wrap up everything in like a happy, mm-hmm. neat, tight little package. But things don't normally end happy in wrestling.
Yeah, yeah. So I think it depends how the story you're telling. Specifically, so if say you want it to end a feud. If you're using that to end the feud and you want to end on like the biggest happy-go-lucky pop for your faces you can, a wedding is a great way to do it, because people are already excited, like love is in the air, quote unquote, and like if you have your face, you know, finally, you know, coming out on top and winning the big fight or whatever, like it's a great way to do it. Personally, if you give me the book, I'd probably use it to start feuds. Cause that's what better reason to be feuding with someone than be like, he ruined my wedding. Like,
mm-hmm. And a majority of the ones that WWE has run, are the latter. They kind of start a feud or they end a feud and start a feud within the same wedding. And I think that is really when they're at their best, when they conclude everything you wanted and then make you ask more questions, kind of like a good episode of Lost.
okay.
I think that, have you finished season 2 of GLOW now?
I have, yes.
Okay, so I think that they do that really well. Mm-hmm. The season 2 of GLOW ends with a wedding in the ring, and they wrap up a big storyline in the world of the show, and then start another big storyline with that like battle royal for the crown thing, like in the actual like wrestling of the show. And I think that actually is like one of the most accurate wrestling things they've done on that television series, was the wrestling wedding. Like it all reigned true to me of like, you gotta, well, okay, you take a wrestling ring and you gotta make it look like a wedding, so we gotta put some like some curtains on the ropes, put flowers in there,
put an arbor in there, like,
yeah. If they're Jewish, you gotta put a chuppah in there. It's, you know, I think that the wrestling wedding is only fun and only works when you really play up the absurdity of kind of the things that are at actual weddings. Like, I don't know if you did this at all at the weddings that you were at recently. I certainly did, where I was looking at stuff and being like, that's kind of silly that we do that.
I think not like consciously, but yeah, probably, I'm sure. What's specifically the one thing that you were like, this is weird?
I think it was because I was at a Jewish wedding that, like, they have a lot of very specific rules they follow with, like, not the stomping of the glass. That's really cool. Uh-huh. But the, like, walking around each other a few times. I'm not trying to make it sound like I was like, this is stupid. I was just like, this is kind of silly in a modern context.
Sure.
And I'm sure that weddings of all kind of religious backgrounds also have their own kind of thing like that. I don't know how there hasn't been a Jewish WWE wedding that had someone raised on the chair, you know. And this,
yeah, actually,
I feel like that's.
I was about to say, well, you know, maybe they want to stay away from any sort of like religious connotations, but no, like it's not really.
We'll certainly get into some very specific. We'll get into some specific groups of people that they did weddings with, in about 5 minutes. Do you think that what's the risk of doing this in a storyline? Because it could certainly go poorly.
We're talking kayfabe, or
I'm talking not kayfabe. There's a billion risks for running a wedding in kayfabe as a wrestler, but I feel like as a promoter, as a booker, we're gonna do a wedding,
right? I think because like weddings, they're still probably something within like society that people probably wouldn't appreciate. Being mocked, which to be honest, a lot of professional wrestling is mocking certain tropes about society. And so I think you have to be conscious of kind of like where you're going to run this angle, the audience there, specifically what's going to happen in this angle. Like, are you going to insult an entire group of demographic of people? Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah. I think in a sense, though, it is one of the like lower risk kind of storylines they can do, because if it's great, it's great. And if it's bad, I think it's remembered for like it quickly becomes awesomely bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're entertaining even if they're like groan inducing.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say are the basic steps of a wrestling wedding? Are they pretty much the same as a real wedding, or like what are the things that have to happen at a wrestling wedding?
Okay, so from what I've seen in wrestling weddings,
we've watched a lot of them.
We've watched a lot. Number one, of course, you got to have your groom and or your bride and or other groom, or mm-hmm. two brides even if you want.
Yeah.
So you got to have your participants. You got to have what's the term? The correct term? An officiant.
An officiant. Yeah.
Yes. You gotta have an officiant, whether or not it's someone in a mask who's pretending to be someone else, or
like an actual like
or
priest
an actual,
just like
yeah.
rented for this. Yeah.
You gotta have an officiant. It helps if you have a stage set up, like an actual,
yeah,
you got the arbor,
flowers and shit everywhere.
Like, yeah,
cake helps.
Yeah. Cake's also a great setup. I think those are definitely the main ones. You got anything to add to that list?
I think that in a wrestling wedding, the participants in the wedding have to be wearing like suits and gowns that make absolutely no sense at a real
okay.
wedding.
I like
I
that.
Think like for the most part, I think Miss Elizabeth's gown is like the only kind of realistic wedding
mm-hmm.
dress that
yeah.
we ever get. I think it should look like people who walked off the set of Jerry Springer. It's kind of like how it should look.
Okay.
If you can just take the wrestler's normal attire and just make it all white,
which
even better. So a Seth Rollins wedding would be great.
I know we're going to talk about it soon, but the Macho Man wedding, Macho
oh
Man's
God.
Getup he's wearing is the best thing I've ever seen. I want to wear that at my wedding. Like, even the little details, the thing I was laughing the most at is, so like, you know, like traditionally like wrestlers, like the hand wraps that they have, that's just like the
yeah.
white sports tape. He had hand wraps that was like nice silk ribbon. Like, it was great. It was the best thing.
They also, I think you also have to have a heel commentator who clearly has been like spurned by love at some point and just hates the idea of a wedding in general.
Uh-huh.
I think that is like a really nice addition to a wrestling
yes,
wedding.
Definitely.
So we're gonna hop into some reviews of the most memorable and infamous wrestling weddings, the ones that you guys should go check out in your free time. And these are
mm-hmm.
pretty much available everywhere. You can get almost all of them on YouTube.
Yeah.
Do you want to start with the most memorable one?
Absolutely. And it's the best one. This one was, again, not the first wrestling wedding that we were witness to, but definitely the best one, the most memorable one, I think, for a lot of wrestling fans. And this was the wedding between the Macho Man, Randy Savage, and Miss Elizabeth at SummerSlam 1991.
Yes, they had actually been married for a few years prior to this in real life.
Yes.
And they got divorced a year after, is that right?
After this wedding or like after their actual wedding?
After this wedding.
Oh,
I think they
yeah,
got
that,
divorced a year
that,
later
that,
in real life.
That timeline sounds about right.
Don't let me kill real love, because this is...
Yeah.
The other kind of rule with wrestling weddings is that there has to be someone who's trying to like stop the wedding or someone who's coming there to ruin it, right?
Yes.
We've been to a lot of weddings this year. I didn't hear anyone actually say this trope, and I'm sure you probably didn't either, of saying like, if anyone has any reason
yeah.
or cause that these people shouldn't be married, like that's not a thing that happens in real life.
No. And if
but
you've
it's
been
great
to,
at a wrestling
if you've
wedding.
Been to one where it's happened, please tweet us, let us know. I need
yeah
details.
That means that the priest was feeling the room and was like, maybe I should ask this.
I need details.
But the Elizabeth Savage wedding is notable in that it doesn't really have that, at least not until the next night. It's also crazy that this wedding main evented a pay-per-view.
It did. Yes, I realized it was the main event of SummerSlam was the wedding. And I think that's the reason why it feels apart from all other wrestling weddings is that it wasn't necessarily like just a storyline where we're going to have someone try to ruin this or destroy it. Like honestly, it just felt like a legit wedding.
I think and this is kind of in the time in 91 of the end of 80s kayfabe is kind of like dying out and people are starting to become more wise to the fact that it's a story and staged. And I think that this is a thing that felt hyper realistic. And even the biggest fans were probably like, well, I think they really just got married. Mm-hmm. And I think it is like fan service. There's like, let's actually give people like a nice love story.
Yeah.
'Cause the storyline building up to this was fantastic. Miss Elizabeth and Randy Savage had been manager and boyfriend and girlfriend on air for many, many years. And then when Hogan became tag team partners with Savage, they eventually broke up because Randy was so jealous over Elizabeth, you know, pulling her to his side of the ring as Jay Lethal did at All In, that they were not together for a while on TV. Randy loses a match at WrestleMania that is a loser's career is over match. Loses. He's so sad in the middle of the ring, and Elizabeth is able to put bygones to bygones and comes in and is like, well, you may have lost your career, but you still got me. This is kind of the end of that storyline of them officially getting married.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. It makes me want to cry just talking about it. What were your favorite things, like aspects of this wedding? Why is this the wedding, wrestling wedding, that people hold as like the standard?
Because there were really no shenanigans. It just felt like a real wedding of like, oh, these are two people who love each other and we just get to watch their wedding. The best parts for me was Macho Man's get up was incredible, literally incredible. Roddy Piper on commentary was so great.
He's a heel, but he like loves love.
He was all about love, man. He was all about love. It was great. But yeah, it was an all around like a feel good moment. You know what I mean? There was no downside to it. No like dastardly heel coming to ruin it. Like it was just all feel good.
I particularly loved the opening of the pay-per-view. Because the other big attraction of this pay-per-view was a match made in hell, because the wedding was referred to as a match made in heaven.
Yeah.
And they start the pay-per-view and Vince McMahon, who was doing the bumper, he wasn't doing commentary, but he was doing the bumper for that. And he talks about the match made in heaven and then has to transition to the match made in hell, which was like U.S. people versus like Iran nuclear crisis people. And his quote was... he turns from being like, well, and that's the wedding, and then saying, it turns from nuptials to napalm. And I was like, this is fantastic. This is what wrestling should be. I also love that the wedding was a real part of that show from beginning to end. Every time in between a match, they had to throw to the back and do something wedding related. The Randy Savage on the like wedding hotline thing, it was really weird where fans are just calling and asking him about the wedding and he's trying to like not divulge where they're going to go on their honeymoon. 'Cause he's like, why do you want to be asking that? I don't do it with Randy Savage. You do. Yeah. You're much better than me with that. I think just the satisfaction of them being like, do you take this woman? And Randy saying, oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So satisfying. And, I didn't remember this until I watched it. The pop for Elizabeth when she comes out in her gown, which they hadn't shown all night, is one of the biggest pops I've ever heard.
It was huge,
man. In wrestling. Yeah. It's funny to me that everyone in Madison Square Garden just wanted to see a nice, wholesome wedding.
I know. It was
great. Their SummerSlam. Yeah. But everything can't be perfect. Mm-mm. The night after, there is footage of the reception. And as fun as the wedding is, the reception is a goddamn blast. They start with, there's like a Robin Leach esque, which I mean, a lot of young people probably don't know who he is. He just died last week, I think. The Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous host. So there's like a British guy taking you through the events of the reception, and they're doing like the cake, and they're shaking everyone's hands, and there's like speeches. Mean Gene does like a best man speech, and then they do this segment where Mean Gene is interviewing them, and they're opening their wedding gifts. They're all on a table, and Randy Savage is just improvising opening gifts while Elizabeth is being interviewed. And there's this great moment where he opens one, and the first gift he gets, he pulls out a blender, and he's like, got a blender, yeah! And he's so happy to be getting a blender. They get, like, a great, they get, like, some other stuff, and he's, like, he's ridiculing fake people off camera who, like, got him these gifts, and, like, so and great. Like, yanking their chain, and it's amazing.
Quite as beautiful as your union in marriage.
Right there, nice ribbon right there, right there.
You're supposed to wait.
Not gonna wait for nothing.
Come on, you're supposed to wait a few minutes.
Got a blender, yeah.
Hey,
got a blender.
You can put together a few cocktails and that.
It's in there, right there. I got a blender right here. That's great.
Come on.
Fantastic, yeah.
So then there's a particular gift they open that has a snake inside of it.
Oh, I see.
And at that point, the snake becomes the POV of the camera. And kind of terrorizes the people at the wedding, and the Undertaker and Jake the Snake come and beat everybody up and ruin the wedding reception.
Then, what should have been the happy conclusion to this perfect occasion was suddenly marred by this.
I'm going to save the ribbon.
But this is the only, and that leads to a really memorable rivalry with Randy Savage and Jake the Snake, where Randy Savage takes a snake bite in the
to the arm. That is, there's no way to fake that.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal. But that is the good side and bad side of the most memorable wrestling wedding that did end a gigantic storyline and then start off everything that happened between that and WrestleMania the next year. Not every wedding in wrestling can be good.
Not everyone goes over so well.
Is there a particular wrestling wedding you can think of in history, Tyler, that was infamous for the wrong reasons?
So you know which one I'm talking about. I sent you a text this morning talking about it. So this was a wedding that so going back and watching this, I vaguely remembered it. It happened. It was on an episode of SmackDown in 2002. So I remember
watching it live.
Yeah, I was in middle school at the time, so I remember probably watching it live. That was back when I was watching live a lot. So I vaguely remembered it, but at the same time, I didn't remember a lot of it. But so anyway, this was the wedding on an episode of SmackDown in 2002, where Chuck Palumbo and the one Billy Gunn were going to get married. Yes, it was going to be a same-sex marriage on live television. Or wait, SmackDown wasn't live back then.
I don't think it was.
Irrelevant. It was going to be a same-sex marriage on television in 2002, political climate, which I know that doesn't sound like much right off the bat, but like if when you watch the clip you really get it. So
it was the first time that a homosexual marriage was depicted on television.
Yes,
and that's crazy that it was only 2002. But it's also fun because the characters that they had, they were a tag team. They did not start as homosexual characters. They started as like male models who were very about their looks, and they would just like behave the way that the overly sexed like divas did on the show. There's a great segment where they win a pose down against Tori Wilson and Stacy Keibler that's really really funny. And they had this boy band theme song, and they had a manager named Rico Constantino, who was their like personal stylist, and they were just like very like metrosexual men.
Yeah,
and someone got the idea like, well, let's just turn them gay and have them get married. Mm-hmm. And the audience at the time did not know how to handle that, and neither did the WWE writers.
No. So let me paint the stage for you. At the top of the episode of SmackDown, their manager, Rico.
Rico Constantino.
Is that mm-hmm. was that Disco Inferno or no? Or he just
no,
looked like,
he just looks
like Disco
he looks
Inferno.
A lot like Glenn Gilberti. Is that Disco Inferno's real name?
I think so.
Rico was not that character like any other. Like, he was like a normal wrestler.
He looked a whole lot like him. But anyway, so at the top of the episode, Rico, who is their manager, he's kind of the brains behind the whole wedding. He's the one, he's going around, he's like getting everything set up. And he has a segment where he's backstage talking to Stephanie McMahon, who is the general manager of SmackDown at the time. And he's really nervous. He's like, oh, I got all these things to plan. It's a wedding. And what do I do with two grooms? And like, there's a funny segment where he's on the phone with like the supposed officiant. And he's like, no, mm-hmm. yes, it's a man. Yes. And there's another man. It's two men. And so that's like the lead up to it. And the actual wedding ceremony happens like somewhere in the middle of the episode after a match mm-hmm. or two. And
it's a long segment.
It's a long segment. It's a very long segment. And so they're in the ring. There's the officiant, which is this kind of old hat, just a very like stereotypical old man. And then you have Billy and Chuck there in their nice suits dressed up. Rico, who's there to witness, along with Stephanie McMahon, who is in the ring as well.
And did you catch the song that they came down the aisle to?
I did not. No, what was it?
It's Raining Men. Ah. Because WWE is very subtle in their writing at that
subtle.
Time.
Yes.
I also did appreciate backstage them being like, Stephanie, will you come out there for our wedding? And she's like, I don't have the best history at weddings.
Yeah, good.
Which we'll get to in a bit. But yes. Yeah, continue. I didn't mean to cut
No,
you
you're
off.
Good. So so the ceremony is going. And they're getting through the vows, and they're getting through them. And, you know, Chuck has his great words to say about Billy. Billy has his words to say about Chuck. And I think it's either right before the I do's.
It's right after, actually. It's like right as like the officiant is about to like proclaim them
as man and man.
Married.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So they get through that part, and then they are interrupted by a old wrestler who most recently, awkwardly enough, was inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame not like 2 years ago.
mm-hmm.
A wrestler by the name of The Godfather, whose gimmick is a literal sex trafficker. He's a pimp.
Yeah, he's a pimp.
He's a pimp. And he comes out and interrupts them, and he is, of course, accompanied by 6 to 7, 8 scantily clad women known as the quote-unquote Ho Train.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes out to the ring, and the women are behind him, you know, kind of scantily dancing and doing their thing. And then, unfortunately, this was the part that really kind of irked me watching it in like now and seeing like what they used to put on television as the product.
Yep.
He interrupts this gay wedding to thunderous applause. Thunderous yeah. applause, like 10,000 people cheering for this pimp and his Ho Train. But yeah, yeah, so he comes out there and he interrupts the wedding, and then he starts giving all these like reasons why they shouldn't get married, talking about how like he's like, Chuck, I used to not be able to get you away from all the girls. And he's like, Billy, you were my best customer or something, basically saying that they used to, you know, hire prostitutes all the time. So,
and he's the good guy in this scenario.
And he's the
kind of
good guy. In
like,
the
come
scenario.
On, everybody. Yeah.
And oh my God. And so eventually I think the Godfather just leaves at some point. And then it comes back to the ceremony. It gets to the climax, and they're like, okay, now that that's over, are you guys ready? I'm going to pronounce you like man and man. And the crowd like 10,000 people strong are booing it. They are booing it so hard. And now the only consolation I can give to this, that technically, yes, they're both heels. Like, they're bad guys. They're supposed to be booed. But, like, if you're looking at within the context of what is happening in the ring, you have 10,000 people booing a gay marriage. Like, it just
maybe
it does not sit well.
Billy, do you pledge to commit yourself into Chuck until death? Do you part in sickness or in health?
Yes.
In retrospect, maybe doing this on an episode of SmackDown that was in 2002 in Minneapolis, Minnesota, maybe not the best place to, like, I think they could probably guess what the response was going to be in that time. So they get booed. And they both break up the wedding to thunderous applause.
Thunderous applause.
To say, like, well, what are we doing? We're not gay. This is just a publicity stunt. We're not actually going to get married, are we?
Yeah.
And the whole idea was that Rico, the fashion designer, just wanted to make headlines with a gay wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Rico, the fashion designer, I think really they're just telling the story of what happens when WWE decides to advertise something and then don't anticipate the reaction. I think WWE was like, was Rico, and was like, yeah, let's do a gay wedding. And then they got all this media attention and were like, uh-oh, people are actually going to watch this.
Yep.
Because this was Billy and Chuck after the episode where they proposed to each other.
Mm-hmm.
They were on Good Morning America, The Howard Stern Show, ESPN. They were in Time Magazine.
Jeez.
And they then, like, GLAAD, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance, decided... And they'd had a lot of problems with WWE in the past for good reason.
Yeah.
They decide, like, you know what? We're going to champion this. We're going to work with them. We're going to be like, this is great that there's a gay wedding.
This is,
and then
what
it doesn't go through.
With.
Yeah. They were not happy that the wedding did not end up taking place.
Not surprised at all.
But the only thing that salvages this, like, horribly offensive train wreck is that the reveal of the priest through the end jumpstarts another storyline. It is actually, like, very effective.
Yes. So once this is devolved into, they're like, well, we're not actually going to get married. The officiant starts to pull off his very, very clearly it was like a prosthetic face mask. So he peels that off to reveal that it's Eric Bischoff, the Raw general manager all along. Then him and Rico start attacking them. Bischoff's cronies, Jamal and Rosie, run in. Rest in peace to both of them, by the way.
3 minute warning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, they're both dead. Yeah.
And then they run in and also beat down everybody. They beat down Stephanie McMahon, because this is back when Raw and SmackDown were feuding, when they first had the brand split wars. And so this was like Raw... not retaliating, but, like, you know, declaring war on SmackDown, basically. So in the grand aspect, great way to start, like, a feud or something, but you just
at the expense of defamation.
Yes. At the expense, like, you're just really not thinking about the big picture here.
I saw an interview about this with Billy Gunn, and he talked about loving the challenge of being given that character at that time. Is like, he's very proud of his work in it. And again, I'm not condoning anything that happened in this segment, but I think he does a great job performing it.
Yeah.
He said he doesn't think that they could get away with doing something like that today. Do you think that WWE could do a same-sex marriage angle today?
They could, if the same sex couple was to their faces. If they were celebrating it and not pseudo condemning it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If they did do it, they would have to be, again, their faces, and they would have to come out on top. Like, there's There is no way I think that they could do a same-sex angle like marriage in 2018 without them winning.
But also, I don't think
they would. Well, it's WWE.
I could see a world in where Bailey and Sasha become married on television.
So this is actually the other thing. I don't think they could do a same-sex angle nowadays without the two characters, two wrestlers,
the performers. Performers
actually being homosexual.
Yes, and that's what I was going to run into, is that Billy said that in that interview. He was like, well, if you're going to do this, why not do this with performers who are actually gay?
Yeah.
Like, it would make a lot more sense. Yeah.
I think that would have to be the stipulation, at least in 2018, because even if they tell an amazing story and they win and they live happily ever after, people are still going to be like, okay, well, why did you get two straight people to play gay wrestlers? Like,
but yeah, exactly. We mentioned Stephanie in some wrestling weddings. Mm-hmm. She has been in like three. A lot of the same people end up in these wrestling weddings. Lita has been in a bunch. Edge has been in a few. Do you have another one that is your favorite? I mean, we just went through the best one and the worst one, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
What are the other like memorable weddings that people should check out?
Probably my next favorite one in terms of most entertaining was the Stephanie McMahon test wedding. And this was where Stephanie McMahon, this was before Stephanie McMahon was like the heel of the company. She was still being portrayed as like Mr. McMahon's like little girl. Like she was still like very much
innocent,
yeah. good girl sort of character.
And this one doesn't hold up for very different reasons.
Yeah. And so she was getting a storyline married to her boyfriend, this wrestler Test.
Also rest in peace. Andy Martin, also dead. Yeah.
And so they were in the ring, and like they were the same setup, you know, you got Test in a suit. I think Stephanie was probably wearing some sort of wedding white dress.
Yeah, she had like a purplish. Maybe something. I'm making that up.
But so they're in the ring, like going through the ceremony, everything, and it's interrupted by none other than Triple H, Stephanie's legit current husband. But is interrupted by Triple H, and he's objecting. He's like, no, you can't marry this man. And she's like, well, why? And he's like, because you're already married. And she's like, well, what are you talking about? No, I'm not married. And then of course Triple H plays a wonderful promo that I'll never forget. It's him driving up to those like drive-through wedding chapels in Vegas.
Yeah,
with a passed out inebriated Stephanie McMahon in his passenger seat.
He's stolen her from her bridal shower, or like her bridesmaids party, and like has taken her and married her against her will. And the video of Triple H...
highly illegal.
Yeah, highly. There's a lot of things wrong with it. The video of him like putting on Stephanie's voice and pretending to talk as her in the drive-thru is amazing.
That's probably my next favorite one. That was I'll always remember that one fondly.
I'll always remember the Dawn Marie and Tori Wilson's dad one.
Oh,
it's really bad, but I think that they got into a storyline that they thought was going to work.
I vaguely remember this wasn't one. Going Can to. You walk me through the flash notes?
Well, I just got to walk you through how it ends, basically, because that's what's important, is that Tori Wilson and Dawn Marie were on SmackDown. Both of them were better as managers than as in-ring wrestlers. And at that time, the women who were better wrestlers were on Raw because it had the women's title, and SmackDown had women wrestlers, but they didn't have a title. So they would have to find they'd have to build these storylines for them to fight over. And they did one where Tori Wilson, I think, wins like a bikini contest or something over Dawn Marie. And she's like, I'm the hottest person on SmackDown. Again, this was a very different time.
Very
different
time. Compared
to women's wrestling today. And Dawn Marie's like, well, if you think you're hotter, I'm going to get you where it hurts. I'm going to marry your dad. And marries Tori Wilson's like very old dad.
Was that her legit dad, by the way?
Yep, it was her legit dad, nice. Probably having the time of his life.
Yeah.
And they do the wedding segment, and then they leave, and they're doing this pre-tape segment that is, like, after the wedding, them going out on the town. And the implication storyline is that Dom Marie sexes him up so much that he has a heart attack and dies. And then they have a match over the death of her father. And then, like, after that match, never talked about again.
Oh my God.
While the wrestling wedding is a really good storytelling convention, the way that Shakespeare intended it, like, let's wrap everything up, and you can end a lot of different storylines simultaneously. You can involve a lot of people. WWE also uses it in a way to be like, ooh, if something isn't working, let's end this shit right now and then never talk about it ever again.
Yeah.
I think the weddings tend to have that happen. Mm-hmm. Here's the last big question I'll ask about the wrestling wedding.
Mm-hmm.
With us just saying, like, it works best to end one storyline and jumpstart another. It works best when you can tell multiple stories at once and it can be the focus of a show.
Mm-hmm.
Who could benefit on the main roster today? Or not even on the main roster, just in WWE. Who could benefit from a wrestling wedding today, and what would that look like?
Ooh. I think because so given like the how wrestling works nowadays, how everyone is very aware of the backstage ongoings of like the people and like, oh, this person is actually married to this person. And so like right off the bat, I would say like, oh, it could be a really interesting angle if you ran like, you know, if like Rusev and Lana could do some sort of in-ring wedding and like you could work in Aiden English and like the Rusev Day thing, but they're already married and everyone knows they're married. Did they already have
one? They did a thing where like none of you got to come to our wedding because we don't want, they were heels and they're like, because you guys don't deserve to, so we'll recreate it in the ring.
Oh, I don't even remember that. Interesting.
And Roman Reigns interrupted it and pushed Lana into cake.
It was a short
wrestling wedding.
But I mean, also I was thinking like Johnny Gargano and Candice LeRae, like that could be an interesting thing.
I think that would be fantastic. And I think that with like the whole idea of that story now being that Johnny is maybe betraying his true self because he hates Tommaso so much.
Yes.
That doing a kind of wedding where like, where it doesn't end happy, where like he is like, no, I can't marry you until I've
defeated my demon that is Tommaso Ciampa. Yeah.
Or turn Candace heel. And have her leave him and go with Tommaso. Like, I think that is a feud that is, it's the best feud in wrestling. It's been going on for quite a while. And I think after this most recent match, everyone kind of felt a little burnt out on it. We're like, well, Johnny needs some time away.
I think it needs a new direction.
And the wedding certainly would be
a
new direction with that.
That could be fun.
I would also just love to see an NXT Full Sail wedding. I think would be really, really fun.
Yeah, that would be really good. Can you think of one an idea that you got?
I feel like you could do a re-up, like a renewing your wedding vows right now if you're gonna keep this Samoa Joe AJ feud going, the current one.
I was just thinking that. Yeah, that would be a great one.
I think have AJ be like, I need to dedicate, you know, to you again. I'm sorry that this guy has been bothering things, and you can have Samoa Joe somehow ruin that and get into that wedding.
That could be interesting.
I think it'd be fun too if he was like banned from it, like from the onset, and the entire episode of SmackDown, you could be having backstage things where he's trying to weasel his way into it.
I want him to burst through the ring, Kane style.
I want him to burst through a cake. I think that would be, it'd have to be a very large cake, but I
just
think that
cake
would be
covered Samoa Joe beating the crap out of AJ Styles.
Yeah, I think that would be fantastic. Or you just have like, you have AJ's wife, like it goes well, and then she throws like her bouquet into the audience to be like, oh,
and Samoa Joe catches it.
And then Samoa Joe catches it. That's the moment that I think would be fantastic.
That would take some serious like coordination, but that would mm-hmm. be really interesting.
They could make it happen. Yeah. I think. I mean, you've also got Renee Young and Dean Ambrose are actually married, but I think they don't want to really make her a character.
They don't seem to acknowledge that very much storyline.
Yeah.
Like it's a thing, but they don't really address it, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how many other actually married couples there are.
I don't know. I know Montez Ford and Bianca Belair in NXT just got married.
Mm-hmm.
Which that could be an interesting thing to just kind of like give them some interesting storylines of something to do.
Yeah. Alexa Bliss and Buddy Murphy, but I think they're trying not to acknowledge that relationship.
Yeah.
I could see a funny thing of an Alexa Braun wedding at the end of the Mixed Match Challenge too, since they are
mm-hmm.
both partners again.
Yeah.
Or like Carmella R-Truth, like to do like a total comedy one.
Yeah.
Could be really fun.
It could be fun.
Yeah. So I think the time is ripe for another mm-hmm. one, because it's been quite a while. So maybe this time next year, the weddings we'll be going to will be inside
wrestling
Square
weddings.
Circle.
And that's Man, assuming see, at this that... point, I would kill to just go to a wrestling wedding rather than normal ones.
Yeah. I have seen... Did we talk about this in the last show about What's seeing that? the places where you can, for your bachelor or bachelorette party, mm-hmm. pay to win a battle royal
at what?
Like a movie promotion?
Oh yeah. Man, that's awesome!
Where you, like, you bring your bridesmaids or groomsmen in, and uh-huh. you all like get in the ring with some of their local wrestlers and like get to do entrances.
Wow,
and, like,
that's you
get
pretty cool.
The finish, yeah. So keep that in mind.
There you go.
In your back pocket.
Tuck that away.
Yeah. Well. The wedding is over. The cake's been eaten. Everyone's danced.
Mm-hmm.
And then some people are like, let's go out to another bar. And I'm like, absolutely not. which means that there's only time for one more segment on the show. It's the Kayfabe 5000. It's been a little while since we've used the machine.
Mm-hmm.
Have you made any adjustments to it?
No, you know, sometimes it's just best to let the, you know, the machinery relax, take a break, if you will, a vacation. So I'm gonna dust her off real quick.
Yeah, it is covered in dust.
It's covered in dust. I'm gonna dust her off real quick. I'm gonna throw a banner around there, maybe some flowers, decorate a little bit, and then we're gonna hop on in.
Oh, I like that.
Let's do it.
All right. Oof.
Ooh.
Whew. Man, that was a really bumpy landing. That
time. I didn't get all the dust.
Yeah, I feel like I swallowed those like sparklers that people hold over the bride and groom.
Oh, that's
at
not
the
good.
Weddings, you know. I just like inhaled all the smoke from that.
Oh man.
Someone's drunk uncle just was like, it feels like they were just like tugging me. But yeah, that was a bumpy landing.
Mm.
So let's get into some questions. Do you
I'm down.
Do
I'm
you
feeling
wanna ask
it.
The first one?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is a question that's been bugging me personally for quite a while, Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
The King of Bros, Matt Riddle, mm-hmm. he's just been signed to WWE. We saw him make an appearance at the recent NXT TakeOver. Now,
yeah.
I got to ask you the question that's on everybody's mind. Why does Matt Riddle not wear shoes when he wrestles?
Yeah, that's really confusing to me, because I feel like you wouldn't want to go barefoot because other people got boots and they could step on your toes and it would hurt.
That would hurt real bad.
My feeling, though, is that it actually doesn't hurt him. I think he just has bad circulation in his feet, so his feet always mm-hmm. feel fine, which is why, you know, if he's barefoot in the ring, when he's outside the ring, he just wears flip-flops, and that's it. Like,
right.
You can actually see there's a photo of him from that NXT appearance where he's in a full suit and then has, like, bright green flip-flops on.
Yeah.
So I think it has to do with like maybe he should get checked for like varicose veins or diabetes or whatever, but or maybe he's like wearing his shorts too tight and it's just cutting off the circulation.
See, I was thinking it could have been something along the lines of, you know, maybe he's got a little more balance on his bare feet. You know, he's not hindered by these large, bulky wrestling boots that everyone else is wearing. You know, he's just got the feeling of the mat underneath his feet. You know, maybe that really helps him in his game.
That's probably what's going on. So recently, Becky Lynch has been claiming that the fans turned on her, even though when she claims that, they appear to be cheering loudly. Should there be concern over Becky's hearing? Do you think that she thinks that they're saying something that they're not?
You know, I think, honestly, I think Becky, she might have a little, hearing damage, you know, she's got this steampunk thing going on for a while and, you know, that can't be the safest environment to work around, you know, all that machinery, those loud noises all the time. It's definitely something we could look into, you know, the state of, Becky Lynch's eardrums.
Do you have any effects from working around machinery and steam such as the Kayfabe 5000?
Oh, no, I don't do any work on this myself. I hire people to do that.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, not me.
You just take the credit?
Yes, absolutely. That's the American way. All right. Okay, I got one for you, my friend.
Okay.
Some people know this man by other means, but I know him as the former WCW World Heavyweight Champion, David Arquette, has recently returned to his career as a wrestler. He even won a recent tag match against none other than James Ellsworth.
The Chinless Wonder.
The Chinless Wonder. So I got to say, Andrew, he's back. What is his ceiling? Where do you see David Arquette going?
Ooh, man. I feel like he probably won't be called back to doing movies again unless they make another Scream, otherwise I can't see him being in another movie. But he is
Ready to Rumble 2.
Yeah, he is a former world champion, as you mentioned.
That is true.
Reigning for I think more than a month in WCW. He doesn't look like he's in the best shape of his life, but I will say that once you hit that world champion, you know, tier, then you get slotted in to more rematches because the promoters are like, well, I don't want to like throw some Joe Nobody in there. Yeah. I want to throw David Arquette, you know, star of movies.
He's
such
a big
as,
name.
Such as movies. So I think that we could see him going for a world title, again very soon, even if that world title is only defended in like Delaware,
the Delaware World Heavyweight Championship.
It's a world unto itself. don't at me, people from Delaware. Yeah,
that's fair.
I got one more question for you before we get out of here, because I heard that the buffet is about to start. And I don't want to miss that. I want to definitely have food before they go into all these speeches that I don't care about. So
that's good. Good call.
So Kevin Owens 2 weeks ago on Raw quit. And then last week he showed up again. What happened? Why did he have a change of heart?
I got to be honest. I think I know exactly what happened. It's no secret that Kevin Owens is a family man and those holidays are right around the corner. And I think he got the Christmas lists a little early this year. From his children, he was like, oh boy, I gotta go back to work. So I think he came back tail between his legs, ready to get back on the grind.
What were the big ticket items that his son Owen was requesting on his Christmas list? Also, like, good on Owen. Like, school hasn't even started again for him, and he was like, all right, here's what I want for Christmas.
I think Owen knew what he wanted for Christmas. He's already had it down. I think that life-size cardboard cutout of John Cena is going to fit very well in his room.
So
I think you know that's a hot ticket item. It's going to cost a pretty penny. So, you know, old Papa Kevin has really got to get back on the grind.
Papa Kevin certainly does.
Yes.
I think I've had a bit too much of the free bar in this wedding motif in this kayfabe machine.
Oh yeah, we should definitely get out of here because that's not free at all.
No. Oh, is it a cash bar?
It is a cash bar. We got to get out of here.
Oh yeah, we need to leave now because I can't close that tab.
All right, cool. Thanks for the festivities.
All right, bye bye.
Put that cigarette out.
It's still rude to me, damn it.
We will ban you from the Summerfest.
You'll be banned from SummerSlam, is what you're saying.
SummerSlam.
I slammed out.
Hey, Colt Cabana, how you doing?
Oh my God!
Oof. Did.
Ooh. We're back.
Did we just go to another wedding?
We did, man. You know, and I
Whose
told
wedding
myself,
was it?
I had told myself I was not going to go to another wedding this year, but here we are.
I didn't catch whose wedding it was at all. I don't think we're ever going to know. Unless they actually like send out their thank you cards in a timely manner.
I mean, I didn't get a great look, but I think it was Billy and Chuck renewing their vows.
Oh, good. I'm glad that they actually like went through it this time. So that's gonna about do it for us in this episode. This was a big episode.
This was a long one.
Do we have any plugs, anything we gotta tell people about before we get out of here?
I'm gonna hit you with my standard ones. You could check out Spotify, Apple, iTunes, whatever other music needs you want for your Turbo Mansion needs. We have a show coming up September 22nd in Fredericksburg, Virginia at Fat Cat's Barbecue something or other. It's going to be fun.
I think I've ate there before. It's good.
It's going to be great. I'm looking forward to it. That's September 22nd. September 29th, we have a show in Richmond that I don't know all the other details about, so I will tell you next time.
But if you wanted to get the details, though, where could you go to get them?
You can go to Turbo Mansion's Facebook page. Just search Turbo Mansion on Facebook. You can find us, and then we will have more info there for you. And then my final plug is what time is it? It is 8:36 p.m. on Monday in roughly 3 hours and 24 minutes. It is going to be my birthday.
Woo!
I am an old, old man.
Don't worry, I feel that way as well. But I don't feel so old that I could rip off my face mask and be Eric Bischoff. So
there you go.
I will remind you guys that if you want us to answer your questions in the Kayfabe 5000, please submit them to us on our website, muchadowrestling.com, or you can drop them on our Facebook page or on our Twitter at adowrestling. Or there's another or. You could email them to us at muchadowrestling@gmail.com. I feel like there was another thing I wanted to plug. Oh, if you haven't already, go back and read my blog on muchadoaboutwrestling.com about my experience watching the NXT TakeOver kickoff show.
Yes,
I did a minute-by-minute breakdown.
That was a great one.
Least watched things in wrestling. Yeah, I had a really good time.
I did enjoy reading that.
Yeah. I'm now, as long as they, spoiler alert, anytime
What's the guy's name on there?
Anytime that they're like Pat McAfee on a pre-show panel, I'm gonna watch it because it's great.
As long as I can have like Adam Cole making fun of him, that's all I need.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Well, that's gonna do it for today. So as always, we're gonna leave you with the words of the immortal William Shakespeare. If wrestling be the food of love, fight on.
And the last word, Elizabeth, dig it.
Is it a Booker T Savage crossover? That's great.
I think it was just Savage. My thing was, do you remember in the Savage the promo when he proposes to her? He says Elizabeth like 5 times in a row over and over and over.
Yeah, it's like
he
forgot
can't get
her
to
name.
Next point. He's like, Elizabeth!
Elizabeth!
It just keeps going.
I love it.
All right.